The room was huge, the size of a football field. It was furnished sparsely, just a few tables scattered about. Inside the room, voices echoed as the technicians called to each other, positioning the pieces of wreckage. One of the biophysicists came up to Manchek holding a clear plastic bag. He waved the contents under Manchek's nose.
"Just got it back from the lab," he said.
"What is it?"
Manchek asked. "A depolymerized polymer," the biochemist said, smacking his lips with satisfaction. "Just back from the lab."
"What kind of polymer?"
A polymer was a repeating molecule, built up from thousands of the same units like a stack of dominoes. Most plastics, nylon, rayon, plant cellulose, and even glycogen in the human body were polymers.
"A polymer of the plastic used on the air hose of the Phantom Jet, the face mask to the pilot. We thought as much."
Manchek frowned. He looked slowly at the crumbly black powder in the bag.
"Plastic?"
"Yes," the biochemist said. "A polymer. Depolymerized. It was broken down. Now that's no vibration effect. It's a biochemical effect, purely organic." Slowly, Manchek began to understand.
"You mean something tore the plastic apart?"
"Yes, you could say that," the biochemist replied. "It's a simplification, of course, but..."
"What tore it apart?"
The biochemist shrugged. "Chemical reaction of some sort. Acid could do it, or intense heat, or..."
"Or?"
"A microorganism, I suppose. If one existed that could eat plastic. If you know what I mean."
"I think,"
Manchek said,
"that I know what you mean."
After his conversation with Peter Jackson, Hall went to see Burton in the autopsy room. "I keep wondering," Hall said, "about the insanity. Talking with Jackson reminded me of it. A large number of people in the town went insane, or at least became bizarre and suicidal during the evening. Now, many of those people were old." Burton frowned.
"So?"
"Old people," Hall said, "are like Jackson. They have lots wrong with them. Their bodies are breaking down in a variety of ways. The lungs are bad, the hearts are bad, the livers are shot, the vessels are sclerotic."
"And this alters the disease process?"
"Perhaps," Hall said. "I just keep wondering." "And there's something else," Hall said. "Jackson recalls hearing one victim say just before he died, 'Oh God, my head.'" Burton stared away into space.
"You're thinking of hemorrhage?"
Hall nodded. "It makes sense," he said, "at least to check." "If the Andromeda strain produced hemorrhage inside the brain for any reason, then it might produce rapid, unusual mental aberrations.
But we already know that the organism acts by clotting."
"Yes," Hall said, "in most people, not all." Burton remembered the rats he had anticoagulated, the ones who had died anyway, but he had no autopsies.
"My God," he said.
He drew out one of the rats from cold storage and cut it open. It bled. Quickly he incised the head, exposing the brain. There he found a large hemorrhage over the gray surface of the brain. "You've got it," Hall said.
"If the animal is normal, it dies from coagulation beginning at the lungs. But if coagulation is prevented, then the organism erodes through the vessels of the brain and hemorrhage occurs."
"And insanity," Hall said.
"Yes."
Burton was now very excited.
"And coagulation could be prevented by any blood disorder.